Alrighty, welcome everyone to VR Jungle, a Havoc podcast. And as you can see, you're not seeing me, but you can see that I actually have the proper screen that I keep on deleting that I want to talk about every single time. And this is our sponsors and affiliates. Links in the codes in the video description. We have W Energy, Ruckup, Olin VR, and VR Cover. They are all great companies. Give them all a look. Dubby is, the one-stop shop for energy when it comes to gaming, or, you know, I use it to drive home from my hour-long drive. Ruckup makes VR decals, or as the Canadians say it, as he said it, is decals, which really blew my mind when he said that. I still got to remember saying that all the time because it's hilarious. And then also we have their pro strap that they have as well that I use for my gaming. With Olin VR, who makes our gun stocks, and they have out a new gun stock right now called the Low Pro, which it, if you haven't seen that, very nice for a game like Breachers to play. And then VR Cover, if you want to get away from the foam inserts that you have for your Oculus or your other gaming headset, you can get a nice leather insert instead that's more hygienic and stuff like that. So let's move over to the main screen. As you can see, this, you know, handsome gentleman over to I think, what, if you're looking at this, my left or right, I don't even know. Let's see. Wait, hold, left. Oh, look, you're on my left. And so with today, and I'm flabbergasted right now because I finally did the sponsorships the way that I kind of wanted to do it. So, you know, I had to take there and take a breath for a second. So today we have one of the co-founders of Vertical Shift with us, and we're going to talk a little bit about Vertical Shift and a community tournament they do called the Euphoria Rally Tournament. And this is Mr. Ben, and before Ben speaks, he was our very first actual official guest. So Ben, how's it been since last time we spoke?
Hey. First off, I'm super happy to be here, and it's been great, honestly. I'm super happy to be back and see that we're on our 61st podcast for you. That's super exciting.
Yeah.
Just want to give a quick congrats for that, because that's super awesome, your consistency. It's been great. We've been up to lots of work, and I'm excited to kind of talk about, discuss topics like the Euphoria Rally and things like that. So it's going to be really exciting.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, and I will after this, because I need to grab the link of it. If people really want to dive into what Vertical Shift is, because the biggest thing about this is I want to focus on the content that we have today instead of just really, you know, talk about Vertical Shift, because we already did it. So after the end of this, I'll add the very first episode that really dives into what Vertical Shift is. So if you watch this and you want to know, hey, I want to know the exact details, what happened in that first one, you can go back and watch that as well. It's good content. You can really see, especially for it being the very first VR Jungle. We had a really shitty logo that, you know, I had to take part away from it because a lot of people were saying it looked like tea leaves, or I was a tea company. And we didn't have this nice little we're in the jungle type of feel. So, wow. You know, it's been crazy. It's been a little over a year now. I think we actually are hitting a year.
It has. Yeah. That's what I was saying. I might have to go revisit that podcast myself after this.
Yeah, crazy. So over in Vertical Shift, and just so a recap, Vertical Shift, sure. You know, is it still the same as what it was? You still got Tag, you have Infection, stuff like that. You obviously still have your city and your fractions, right?
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. So I'd say so over the past year, a bunch of good content has been added. I think one of the biggest item bits is probably our store and our my favorite Double Helix tag map is probably one of the biggest additions, I believe. But yeah, it's still grown out to about the main kind of description we gave it to last year. There's four game modes of multiplayer, Infection, Tag, racing, and a game mode called Hot Seat, as well as kind of our open district city with some missions to fly around in, and honestly just a really cool immersive experience. So yeah, I'd say it's all generally about the same right now with all the extra added content from the past year.
And also, since last time you were on, you are actually found on not on SideQuest anymore. You can actually be found on the Oculus store, right?
We are actually on App Lab currently, yeah, so it's App close Lab. To so, the yeah, Oculus the store, thing. But yeah, you can go to the same exact search bar, type in Vertical Shift, scroll down to where it says View App Lab Games, and we'll be right there, and you can download it right to your headset.
Yeah, and I think that's like the best thing to do when it comes to creating a game is trying to get on that App Lab, but you know, from what I've heard from other people making games, it can be kind of cumbersome, just not really user-friendly, and I'm already, you know, Oculus alone is kind of just a pain when it comes to even, you know, siloing games that actually really need recognition. Because if you still look at it, they still have games out there like Moss Book 1 or like The Climb, where it's just like, if it's owned by Meta, they're just like, yeah, we'll just sponsor this and that's all we're going to sponsor. And it's just like, what about everyone else? Like, what about Vertical Shift? Why can't you have like a, if you played this, you might like these type of indie developers, you know? And that's the one thing I wish Oculus would kind of go to.
It's a fair point. Yeah. We have been in some contact with Oculus over, I guess, the past year, kind of going back and forth, figuring out what qualifications mean and stuff like that. And I won't go into any details about those. So yeah, we'll keep those quiet.
Yeah.
But it's given us a lot better of an idea of what path we need to kind of go down and what adjustments we need to make to kind of go from the hey, we're just like, check out these smaller games here, to potentially being able to go up even higher up on the ladder.
Exactly. Yeah. And one thing before we start diving into about the Euphoria tournament and stuff like that, just because there's the biggest thing right now in VR is the growing potential of this battle that we're probably going to have seeing in 2023, 2024 of VR headsets. Yep. And so is there anything that you all as a company are looking forward to? Are you all looking forward to more standalone headsets to where you can get a broader range of people, or do you think that you're just going to kind of stay within the Oculus family?
So I guess to answer that question, start off, we are on Steam headsets as well and Oculus platform.
Okay.
One of the earliest things when we started this kind of company and project was the ability to play cross-platform. So because I would buy games on my Index, and Sean and other friends would buy games on their Quest or the Rift, I think it was the earlier Rift. And the problem would be is, even if there was multiplayer, which there were a few multiplayer games, their cap room sizes were like 3, and then they were platform dependent. And so there was just so many walls to be able to play with, enjoy like VR with my friends, that a personal core value I like is to kind of, you know, if a lot of different headsets come out, evaluate which headsets are doing well and have like a lot of reach. Second would be to evaluate kind of what it takes to develop and port to that headset to make it worth the experience. And then past that, I mean, more headsets to me brings competition for the hardware marketplace, can, you know, change prices around, stir it up, you know, with different features and really kind of brings the iteration to the whole VR experience. So if a bunch of headsets came out, I don't think I would stick to one.
Definitely for a gaming company. I've seen a lot of other companies that are just like, VR, PC VR is the way to go, and I'm just like, you do you, but you're missing out 95% of the market. So, you know,
that's fair. I'm gonna be honest, nowadays I have the Index and I have a couple Quest 2s and stuff like that. I got these battery packs when we do our big demos or like festivals down in Georgia. We'll put these battery packs so the Quest lasts longer. When they're at home, I airlink to my PC and just play on the Quest headset. So I just switch between, because using the Quest to be able to airlink back and forth, it kind of merges it all in one. Now I can play my PC games on a Quest or just play the Quest on the Quest. And it's just kind of come back into this whole one device.
Yeah.
Which is super cool.
Yeah, definitely agree. And the only thing I'm really looking forward is the Quest 3 and then the Deckard. I can't wait to see exactly what's going on with them. But so with that, and then I do want to just kind of, before we dive into this tournament, is that someone out there said, is Vertical Shift going to have any more updates? And don't even answer that, because I want people to know that this podcast wasn't even supposed to have been on it with me. The person that was supposed to be on it was the one that does the tournaments for their community. He's just out, you know, life happens. I think he's sick, right? With that, Ben was supposed to be coming on later on within next 3 or 4 months, something like that, and to actually talk about potential updates and stuff like that. So with that, we're going to leave that question alone, and hopefully you'll see Ben back in the future, because that's what's going
to
happen.
I can give one. I can say one sentence to addressing. You will receive a announcement within the next few weeks.
There you go. That's all you get. Other than that, he'll be back on because I know I'm going to have him back on to actually talk about, you know, the future of Vertical Shift and stuff like that, which is going to be a pretty exciting podcast. So other than that, I really want to start diving into the community aspect of the Euphoria Rally Tournament. And I was actually looking at images and looking at Vertical Shift, and I think I saw like the very first logo for that tournament. And wow, has that logo has majorly developed.
Man, you know? Where did you find that?
On Google. I was looking up Vertical Shift on Google. It was so crazy. It was like looked like a shield.
Yep.
Yeah,
well, actually, there's the shield. That might be the shock. No, it does look like a shield.
It was the shockwave tournament.
Yeah, shockwave tournament also looked like a shield. I'm curious. All right, so the first time Rally was ever used in the Vertical Shift Discord server. See, now you got me curious.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I guess that doesn't technically count. All right. We have January 11th of 2022. So we are just over a year of rallies. Now, just a week, we're probably gonna come up again, but yeah, our next rally is gonna be hosted by Rocket Lad, I believe, next Saturday. I'll pull up that date in a moment, but yeah, so we're coming up on a year of rallies. This one will be, I guess, that one. So that's super cool.
And so for the people listening, what is a rally? And why is it called Euphoria Rally?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So I'm gonna give the short version first, and then I'm going to go to the origin of why. Okay. If you want to go there next.
Oh, let's do it.
So a rally is, I'm sorry, I have chat next to the side, so I get distracted whenever it comes up. So a rally is several things in my way. Kind of the biggest one is it's another event to play Vertical Shift, but one of its kind of core things about it is it's a way to help new players get into the competitive spirit and environment, right? So, the structure of a rally comes from where you have six district teams. Those are the districts that you find in the city of Orion within Vertical Shift. And so you can kind of align yourself to a district and kind of have a group of people past just a team of three or five that are all kind of like, it's like supporting a sports team. It's exactly like supporting, you know, sports team. Mm-hmm. A team might have, you know, they have their fans, their managers, the players, yeah, et cetera, but it goes way beyond just the few players on the game. So that being said, you get a nice mixture of new players, vet players, you know, mediocre players, like just the whole skill range is there. And in a rally, you'll have a different set of players every single game that happens. And so that really just kind of gets you mixed with a bunch of different personalities that know what they're doing or are ready to be taught. And so it's just kind of to help the new guys come in and learn, and to give the vets something to do for when we're off season for our one-off tournaments.
Yeah, and how long does this tournament usually last?
Yeah, so right now it's a day. So we normally start around 1 p.m., 12:30 EST on like a Saturday or a date chosen. And then it can kind of scale depending on how many people sign up. It's a round-robin-styled event. That's probably one of the first things I should have said. But round-robins means every team plays everyone. Mm-hmm. And once that cycle completes, that's one kind of set.
Okay.
Or a round. It's one round of robin. And so depending on how many people sign, you can say, okay, well, that round robin's going to happen twice or three times or just once if you have a lot of players, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's typically 4 to 5 hours. We've done a few that were shorter. Most of the players were like, yeah, I have time for two and a half hours. And we're like, all right, we'll make this one shorter. So it's very kind of agile and just kind of quick to kind of respond to the players that show up that day.
And is the rally, is it just tag?
Correct. It is just tag. For the most part, it's been on just the original tag map, the first one that's come out.
Yep.
But now with the adding of – go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was just saying. Yeah, I was about to say I remember that map. I played that map quite a bit.
Yeah, that's been the main primary one of a lot of the competitions. But now with Double Helix in the picture, there is a lot of kind of change up where we can kind of add another – mechanic to our rallies where, you know, maybe team captains get to choose which map they play, or just another way to kind of spice it up. And we've actually done a quick poll in our Discord to kind of figure that out, so that information is going to be kind of more solidified soon.
Yeah, and then before all these things get bled through in the chat, there was someone that says, who was the best Vertical Shift of all time, Ben? And then are you going to be in that rally?
Let's see. Is Bomber the truly greatest Vertical Shift player? So Bomber's asking if he's the best player, and he just wants me to hear it, say me to say it.
No, program Noah is asking who the best vertical shift.
Oh, I see. I see. I see.
Yeah.
Of all time, you see, I definitely keep like a top 10 list in my head. It's been a month or two since we've a few months since we've done our last kind of big tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I don't know who's currently rusty. I can so. Yeah. I'm probably gonna avoid answering, but you probably know if I think you're in my top 10.
Yeah, you can't be biased. Or if you want to know who the top 10 is, just go to the game and go to your leaderboard.
That's fair. That's fair.
You know, yeah. If you want to see a top 10, go check out the leaderboard, because we all know that it sits up there. And you know, we have a Havoc team that as well that plays vertical shift. Very good.
Two
team.
Havoc teams,
huh? We have two?
We have two Havoc teams.
I thought we only had one. Somebody needs to tell me about
this.
In fact,
most of them are in the chat right now. Your two Havoc teams are, they've been winning basically the last set of tournaments that have happened, the big ones. They're pretty cool. They basically all, let's see, what do they say? I'm saying.
Well, someone in my team needs to send me their roster, because on my website I only have one team. So I was like, "Where?" I thought we had a second team. Yeah, but I haven't seen this
Havoc
roster.
Exception and Havoc Incarnate now.
Yes, yeah. I was wondering where. So I have Incarnate on the website. I don't have Exception though.
Yeah, so. they added themselves. I do want to give a quick shout out to all you guys that are out in the chat. I appreciate you coming join Program and Nowhere Bomber, Lauren, Lord Death, and Unstoppable, and I believe and Jupiter and. I think I said Lauren, but thanks, Lauren.
Yeah, and you
thank
you
all for coming
me.
Out and helping out.
Yeah, that's a thing. You remind me that I have to start doing that. I want to start doing that midway, the start of my pod on the podcast, to start mentioning people and shouting them out. Because that's one thing. I've had like lists in my mind of things that I want to do, but then I get too excited in the podcast and I just start going my thing. And then I'll sit there like I did a podcast on Saturday for Ultimex tournament. And I was just like, I didn't even talk about my sponsors or affiliates, but I'm like, it's too late. Let's just go. Let's get into this show.
That's fair. That's fair. I have 2,000 games, one currently. Yeah, that sounds about right, Lord Death.
So, with the Euphoria tournament, and so people know, as Ben was saying, is that if you are new to this and you don't know what vertical shift is, and the reason why I'm doing this podcast this week is because it's this weekend. Right. I know so I told
January
people,
28th, 1
yes,
p.m.
Yes, January 28th. And so this is your time to, every day is your time to get any type of game to try out in VR because, for one, this game is a very exceptional game. And for a lot of people, just to dumb it down, and Ben probably hears this quite a bit, if you want to sling around like Spider-Man or fly like Iron Man, this is the game for you. And I think that's the first thing I've ever heard of people when I'm like racing around and you hear some kid, I'm Iron Man. I'm just like, yeah, you're flying around. So it's a blast of a game. But there's definitely mechanics that you have to learn, especially when it comes to tagging people. So I know that playing against people that I've played against back in the day that now play, like the way they tag, I'm just like, how the hell did you just tag me? Like, what the hell? You know?
Yeah, definitely. Because, you know, there was a point in time, I can't say this. People's egos are going to inflate. Now I'll go with it. There was a point
as
in time.
As long as it's not TBG's name, you're fine.
There was a point in time where I easily stomped everyone with like a mile long pole of anything playing around. And now that all these tournaments is going around and people have been really dedicating their time to it. And that I play less from working on the game. They're definitely a tough game now. A lot of players out there they're just insane. Come up with these new like metas and kind of weight strategies to kind of go around and debate a player, you could say, and it works.
Yeah.
And so I've definitely learned some tricks from people that I've gone in. And for example, you see like Lord Death said he has, 2,000 games won currently. He probably has, I don't know actually how many totals gained. But yeah, like people like that, just they figured it out.
Yeah, yeah. Lord Death is a pretty good VS player. So yeah, like I was saying, this is definitely a time to pick up the game and be part of the community. And that's the biggest thing about VR. Is when you have a game that also has a great community behind it and people that want to teach you, that's definitely vertical shift. Especially when, like, even if you want to know what esports is. And that's another thing I want to touch base on, is that no other game has community events where it's just like, do you want to see what esports is? Because you've never tried it to even dabble, to even think that you even like a competitive feel. You know, you might get done with this tournament, but like, you know, I'm just going to casually play. And if that's for you, that's you have to find that out. And so Vertical Shift allows that to happen. And so, you know, good for you all for actually being a game that puts together community tournaments like this. But when they do that, when they get into your Discord, how do they sign up? And then how do they depict on what team they want to be part of?
Sure. Yeah. So there's a couple about that. And just make sure, too, we'll wrap back around to we'll get into where they came from next. But I still definitely want to touch on that.
Yeah.
But basically, the kind of sign up process. So like when you join our Discord right now, the first thing you're greeted with is the welcome screen, as most are. But to get an access to the rest of this Discord, we implemented this about a year ago. So we've been doing this for roughly about that time. Originally, the Discord was all open. Once you got in, every channel was showing. It was very free flowing.
Yeah.
But a strategy we tried to do is when you join the Discord, you are now locked behind the welcome screen until you assign yourself a district role. And so that goes, you know, Reaper Dogs, Kings, Commanders, Pink Kittens, Inquisitors, Ascendant. So every single person, whether they just, assign themselves a district role. And they can change it whenever they want. We're not locking anyone.
Yeah.
But a lot of people,
you just want someone to pick something.
Exactly. So once they get that you know, that color or that badge on their name, you know, you start to subconsciously kind of be like, I'm with this group. Or you decide it's not your group and you'd like to go somewhere in a different route as well. So that kind of helps us get an early assigning of districts, of just kind of what district do I choose. It gets that right out of the minute, of the way. Because everyone will gravitate towards either a name or a logo or something like that, based off either disliking others or liking how a color looks. So we get that part. That's step one, right?
Yeah.
Step two for just the basic rally sign up form is really, we just have a Google Doc, make it really easy in our announcements. Mm-hmm. So when a new one gets posted, that link goes right at the top of the list for the current one, and people can go check it out, click on it and put in some necessary information of which district you want to be on, you know, some player name, Discord name, so we can contact you. And we actually did this thing for a little bit. I'm forgetting the name, referred somebody.
Mm-hmm.
We did some like extra prizes and stuff like that. So that's just kind of the quick process. You just kind of put your name in a Google Doc, tell us what district, and then you're
awesome. Yeah, so pretty simple. I mean, that's the way that I think every Discord should do. That's the way that last year I completely remade our Discord from the ground up, and everything is blocked now. That you have to pick a game that you play before you can see everything. It also helps you with spam bots as well, because it kind of stops them right there.
That is also an underlying kind of thing. These bots that would try and join, get past the you know, correct thing, and then go spam, those guys can't get past welcome.
Yeah. So
so that's another thing as well.
Yeah, because behind our games, we have membership as well. So you get the membership role that you're a member, and you get your game role. So you get your first access. And so I think the only thing you can see is welcome and then all of Havoc's link. So it's like, hey, if you want to go check us out while you're sitting here with a thumb up your butt, then go ahead. You know? So, so you wanted to touch base. You wanted to swing back around before we lose it and all the dialect. Remember what we were talking about?
I do. Sorry. I got messages on this side from chat, and then my Discord just went on the left, and I was just like, what's happening? We were talking about the origin of the Euphoria Rally, correct?
Yes. Let's do the origin.
Awesome. Yeah. So the origin of the Euphoria Rally, as I kind of mentioned, came from about a year ago. We were running, I forget which tournament it was at that time, but it was one of our bigger tournaments. We put a prize pool. It's like an all day thing, but this is like, we tell you a month and a half, 2 months out. It's live stream casted, all superlatives, all that kind of fun stuff goes out. The problem with those, and those were super fun. They got stressful, but they were super fun. It was the thrill of it. It was super fun watching players get better, practice, scrim. The casting was, I had so much fun casting, yelling into a microphone for like 8 hours. I'm a tech dude as well, so I like, you know, the setup. It's fun. However, they liked it so much, they wanted it higher than the capacity that I could dedicate team effort to step away from development or, you know, team management or play, like just signups and all that stuff, shuffling. So much of that happens. We started getting where we would run these events with maybe 4, 5, 6 people would kind of be starting being involved in those. And, you know, our team is about 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people. So it's about like you're taking 80-90% away of your resources and putting it into that event. And it was well worth those, but they liked it. They liked it so much that they wanted more than we could handle.
Yeah.
So I might be wrong here, but I believe I dreamed up the rally idea and presented it. So I'm going to run with that now. Lauren, Sean, if I'm wrong, I apologize. But that's what I remember kind of presenting it as a form of basically, what if we had this lightweight, and we called it a tournament. What if we had a lightweight tournament that could be run by any one of us on the team that we can do monthly, bi-monthly, whenever there's a down off month that's not a huge event, we can put a rally in place. And that was kind of my thought process for a solution that would be good for giving the community what they want and having enough frequent events, kind of ramping that stuff up as well. And during that design process of that rally, or what we called the rally, it was basically we had two terms, tournament and rally. And we didn't want to call it a tournament because there was expectations from us of what a tournament means.
Yeah.
And so we gave rally kind of the term that's round robin. It's more loose. Your teams aren't connected. It's very kind of laid back play. And then in the design, again, we kind of brought in a way that new players could get in. And then we could funnel new players that enjoy themselves in the rally over the tournament. So we basically kind of structured, the goal structure was a new player comes in, they join the rally or are interested in joining the rally, either by a friend asking them, experienced player asking them, et cetera. They get in, they play the round robin, which is different from the structure of the tournament. But once you get in the game, it's the same battle, right?
Yeah.
So we get them into the experience, we get them into the game experience. And if they like it or if they, you know, get a hook for it, they become hooked on the tournament play, right? And so when they play with enough different players in a district, that's more connections made that can lead to when a bigger tournament comes around, you have more chances to get more signups to come out as teams and then feed themselves into our bigger tournaments, basically ultimately growing and maintaining the esports competitive population, right? So that was kind of its origin and goal. And I know a question we asked, I think you asked before stream, was why is it called the Euphoria Rally?
Yeah.
So the Euphoria District is actually kind of our entertainment district within the city of Orion. So it kind of made sense that they'd be putting on these sports events. And so we just put Euphoria, which is again kind of that primary name for district, and Rally, because that's what we were kind of coining this different type of tournament structure. And so it just became the Euphoria Rally.
Gotcha. So that's the whole origins of the whole thing. And so that's been a year in the making that you said when we first started this, right?
Correct.
And so in that year, how often are you putting these together then?
Yeah, so we have a central kind of documentation place we call Confluence to kind of keep a lot of our templates and information. I wrote a template, literally a template for everything to do to run a Euphoria Rally. The idea is I could hand this to you, give you Discord perms, and you could run a rally.
Okay.
And so it goes from everything to copy pasta Discord announcements with the date fill-ins and the names and other information to kind of how the rules work, which is basically the same rules as our tournament. So we have those in a different document. Time structures. Here's a template for a Google form. And so with that, we actually have a pool of people that opted in to running these rallies, which is me, Sean, and Lauren right now. And so we just alternate months. So like this month is going to be Lauren's. Next month, I think I'm up for it. And then the following, if we choose to run one, will be Sean's as well. And so we just kind of have this ever going cycle. So we took a break like in December because everyone gets busy around then.
Yeah, for sure.
But that cycle doesn't change. So that's why Lauren's is this month. It just offsets. So we just kind of have this rhythm going of everyone knows who's handling it next. And so ideally, if we went 12 straight months, you're only doing about 4 a year.
Okay. And that's really not that bad, especially when it comes to like a community event as well, when you got other tournaments and other people that have other, you know, leagues going on as well. So the one thing I do want to ask is that for this being a community event, and also you can use this as advertisement as well to kind of really show a game and not really overcast or overshadow another esports team. You know, like when you have another tournament, you have to also mention like Esports Havoc as well in there. But this, you kind of get to be your own thing and only mention Vertical Shift and be 100%, you know, of the advertisement. So with me being that said, every time you do this, do you see growth in the player base? Is it an ongoing thing that you see vertical shift like hits a major big jump for a little bit? And then with that, do you think that if you would at least cast these Euphoria tournaments or find someone that, you know, is practicing casting that mm-hmm. would just say, hey, like, if you're trying to learn the cast and get in the VR, which is a lot of people out there, it's a crazy amount of people that you would find that would do this for free, mm-hmm. that would take their time out of the day to get into the mode. They might not be good, but they're trying. Give people a chance on that.
You got to start somewhere.
Yeah. Do you think that would encourage more people to want to be that see this because they get to be on some form of a big screen?
So that's I hear a couple interesting questions there, so I'll try and address those in order. I believe the first question was about the player growth over time with kind of users, or if like a big spike happens. The biggest thing I can kind of say into that, and this was the first year we did it, so there's definitely some hiccups that happen sometimes or some things that we didn't account for. But the more consistent we are with Euphoria rallies and tournaments off of a bump of a spike in players, the longer that line rides high.
Good.
Which is good. And then in states where, you know, the dev team is so, there's a word, allocated to dev projects, mm-hmm. or we have to miss a month for internal stuff or external things going on, and we take a break, we will kind of start seeing either, unrest isn't the right word, but kind of a, hey, when's the next tournament going to happen? Or why isn't there a rally this month? And you can kind of tell people it became an expectation.
Yeah.
And so I'd say, yes, positive. The more consistent we are with it, we do see a growth in, you know, even Discord activity, active users, all of that stuff spikes because people practice for tournaments, people practice for rallies. It kind of goes that whole nine yards. So definitely the spike in activity and consistency helps maintain that player base. I saw a question.
Yeah, there's one from Lord that I see right now. Is okay. When will there be the next bracket style tournament?
Yeah, so there is no currently planned one. When we go through the cycle, to be blunt, we normally think about a month or two out, unless we're going like really big and trying to figure out the year. So I can tell you, there's nothing planned for the next few months. But typically when we decide a tournament is happening, we basically only need about a week turnaround before we go public with it. So once one's kind of in the plans and works, you'll know pretty quickly.
Yeah. And then have you thought about, outsourcing it to a league that would be willing to take it over for you just for their own benefits as well to push better tournaments?
So that's a great question. I think I might have crossed this bridge once. I'm honestly unsure if I did at the moment. But I personally don't think I'd have, like, if a league wanted to run events with VS and they were, you know, pretty established, I don't see any issue with a league wanting to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason I did, you know, the league stuff as well is, one, it's a competitive game. Two, I find a lot of personal enjoyment from putting on the events, even though they can do like, a lot of crazy stuff. I love doing the casting. I love watching the players play a game that, you know, we've put blood, sweat, and tears into trying to make. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if there was a league that wanted to come around, it's like, hey, we think your game's ready to pick up. I'd have to, you know, some discussion internally, of course, and then probably be like, yeah, let me give you the tools to help succeed.
Yeah.
But there's always, I think, fun for, I always think there's something about, like, even all, to me, all games kind of do this with esports, but you do have your leagues, the big leagues that kind of run it, the medium leagues, tier three leagues, whatever you kind of want to describe your terminology from. But I always find it cool when the developers host.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's like, it might not be the highest tier ready, but when the developers host a game for their own, a league for their own game, I always find that really, really nice to watch.
Yeah, and I totally agree. And that's the thing that when I first got into VR before Facebook just came, or Meta came around, mm-hmm. and just purchased everything and made everyone just completely like forget that, you know, people exist in their games. You know, that a lot, like, especially like just to throw a name out there, like Population One, for instance, is that when mm-hmm. it first came out, it came out in October of 2020, I believe, is when that game mm-hmm. came out. And the devs would come in, play with us, and you knew them by name. They would always be chatting, and then as soon as they got bought spot by Meta, it was just like, man, we talk about it today. It's just like, it is the rise and fall of Rome right there. You know, like they had,
I'm not going to lie, they probably got thrown into 4X the amount of meetings. Oh, and that's what took them away from play. If I'm being, that's what I think would have probably happened.
Yeah. And so it's always good to see. And that's the one thing I really respect about indie games, indie developers, like studios like yours, and pretty much any VR studio right now is really considered an indie developer, because it's, you know, they're the only people that I really see making like AAA type of content right now is The Walking Dead. Like the I don't know if you've seen The Walking Dead Behemoth.
I've heard a little bit about it.
Like they just did an advertisement, and I'm just like, this looks like a PlayStation game. And mm-hmm. so and but you'll never see those developers ever, you know. When it comes to their communities, they're going to find community managers, and that's mm-hmm. it. You know,
well, at that point, when you scale that high, that makes sense. Yeah. Because like, you know, there was a point in time we tried to do more community management or have a community manager. Hugh was available around that time, and he did a pretty good job, and was pretty well known and liked it in the community. But myself, even like, I'm a developer, founder, like, you know, been around for this project for a while. Even if I wasn't like the official community role, I just like being around the people that enjoy the same things I do.
Yeah.
And so I'd probably find a way to try and front and in. I know over the break, over in December, I slacked a little bit, but that's just, you know, being away from the computer and doing all the family stuff. But yeah.
And COVID was pretty much over at that point. So I think that everyone had the itch to finally do something. Like, I play like in real life golf, you know. And everything was so open that I'm just like, I think I golfed like 3 times last summer because we were too busy like going everywhere. You know, we were traveling an hour here and there and enjoying freaking life, because we were just like, we were at this weird limbo where it was like, we could possibly be shut down again at any moment, how crazy things have been going. And so I think.
Yeah, I remember that.
yeah. And I think this summer, We're pretty much coming back to reality, to where I think a lot more people are going to be focusing on things that they want instead of freaking going everywhere they can possibly go just to get, you know, to get every one thing in.
That's fair.
A year's worth of traveling in one freaking summer. Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
So hopefully a lot more greater things are coming with it, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's something I forgot to mention that I wanted to hop back on with some of the rallies, which might be super important to some players as well, but it may or may not be known, but I imagine it is known by most people here, but Vertical Shift has a couple in-game currencies. We have reps and mints, and reps you earn by playing the game itself, like, you know, winning matches or just participating in the missions and stuff like that.
Okay.
And then reps you can buy, or they can be awarded to you by developers, AKA events. So something we also do in the rally is award, I think it's the top 3 teams with mints, which actually are more valuable than reps, I guess, for context. And so what's cool about that is, you know, players come in, they get some valuable lessons on how to play the game. They get some, you know, practice in. Basically, I call it like hands dirty, get it like dead down and figure it out. And then depending on how they performed and got in, everyone, like let's say Reaper Dogs won a game. Everyone that played that day, doesn't matter if you were in for half a match and went 0-20, if your team got up in that threshold of the round robin, you get the full amount of awarded points.
Awesome.
The whole team. So, you know, going in there, there is kind of a, all right, I'm learning and I get rewarded. And then, you know, for us in Vertical Shift, you can take those mints, and there's a bunch of outfits now. I don't know if you have been to see.
I have not seen the new outfits, no.
I don't have any images on hand to pass, but we did a cool content update where we did a bunch of clothing options, hats, or not hats, sorry. We don't have hats. Don't take that.
You're just like, damn it, everyone's going to go out in there and want to wear a damn hat. We don't got hats.
To me, I wear hoodies basically as much as I would hats. So to me, I cross it. But like hoodies, t-shirts, shorts, things that like neon and glow, kind of look all sci-fi and stuff. And so you can kind of reward yourself after playing a rally, making that threshold. You can go buy some nice clothing to, I like to say, stunt on others while like looking shiny.
Stunt on others.
And
you all really like the neon thing, like, because isn't it neon city? Why What's
yeah,
neon?
it looks like a neon city. A lot of it's neon.
Where did I hear that at one point? I don't know. Maybe I said it to my own self when I was in there.
Well, every district has like their own neon color. All the maps have like the purple or pink and blue, I think is kind of more blank and cyan kind of outlines. the core of that started from what I like to call dev art because I'm not an artist. And so I was like, all right, I've made this world. I can do, you know, level development. Okay, I need definition on these corners because they make no sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
What's better than that? I like cyberpunk and vaporwave style color schemes, right? That's the pinks, blues, blacks, purples, all that kind of deal. And so I was just like, all right, pick a blue and then line it all up. And then it just, I liked it and people said they like it. And we just continued with it. And then it kind of evolved into what it is.
Yeah, I mean, just seeing it, you know, just loading in because you load it to the city when you're in it and you're exploring around. It really does help understand like where the fractions are at, and you know, alone, like I think the funniest story I have from playing Vertical Shift, and if I tell you this, I think you're gonna remember this because I made a video about it. So I had you on the podcast, and then I also back when I used to do. I used to pick a random game a week and then do like a review on it. And then, you know, there's just not that many VR games coming out to even do that, to even be viable. So I'm just like, if I find a good game I really like, I'll do a review on it. You know, so I did one on your game. And when I was going around playing it, I landed at the club. Do you think you remember what I'm about to talk about?
I think I remember. I'm looking forward to hearing it.
And so I was in the club. You know, dancing around. It's like, it was a little rave music. It was going. You know, and I was walking around. I was trying to find something to dance with. And next thing I know, I have this NPC just twerking on me. Just freaking backing it up.
I really want to throw out who put that in the game.
Dude, it was. I was just in.
That's right. I really want to shout out and say who put that in the game.
I'm just like sitting there. I'm just like, dang. You get it, like it hips on shoulders and going.
Yeah, I remember the first time I saw that, because I was working on different segments of the game at that point in time. I had involvement in some of the city design in the early bit, probably the first like 60%, and then it went off.
Mm-hmm.
When I played that and tested it for the first time, it caught me the most off guard I think I've been in that game. That's like my top three. Top two or three, I think, incidents of playing like Vertical Shift itself and being like, okay, yeah, sure. Yeah, that's fine. It's a club, I guess. It makes sense. It's just kind of like a, okay. That's just kind of how I took it.
Yeah, basically how I was walking to the club, I'm just like, yeah, they're dancing with each other. And then all of a sudden, that one, I'm just like, dang, you get it.
I think what's fun too, depending on when you show up, I don't know if it's like an entry on the club like timer thing. I don't remember the system that does it, but sometimes they'll all be in sync.
Nice.
If you've seen that. Like, and so they won't be different. You'll have like 50 NPCs that are in there and they'll do the things. And then they'll just all go into it. You're just like,
yeah, you should create your own Mambo, what is it? Mambo 9 or something like that. Is that what it's called? The song Mambo something, or I think it's a number. But you know what I'm talking about, where it's like slide to the right, slide to the left. Now,
Cha Cha Slide is what that one's just called.
Yeah, there's another one, I guess. Maybe I'm thinking of another one. But anyways, that'd be funny if you guys made your Vertical Shift version, and when you go in there, the NPCs are doing it all together. I would go in there and I would join. I would join in it.
I need to find this. I don't.
Why you're fine?
I'm gonna send you. We did a costume contest, and I made it a video.
Yeah,
I'm gonna need to find this, and I'll have to send it to you.
Yeah,
because I think you'll enjoy it.
I will 100% enjoy it. And I have a controversial question in the chat.
Oh boy,
not that controversial, but you know, in Vertical Shift terms, it's gonna be controversial. And he says, Ben, which district you think may win this rally?
Well, depends on how much in depth you want me to go into that question.
We have.
I can pull up.
We have about 15 minutes left in the podcast, so you can take the whole 15 minutes to explain it.
Oh man! Oh man! All right, let me pull this up and do my analysis.
And so while he's looking that up, I do want to mention that everything that we're talking about for the links and about the tournament is in the link in the description. You have their website, the Discord, their Instagram, their Twitter, and their TikTok, right? You have a TikTok, right? I think you gave me a TikTok.
We do. I've been pretty dormant on it, honestly, because it was a lot of work to make the TikTok. They did very well.
No, I hate TikTok.
It did very well. We got a couple videos with over 100K views.
Oh, you should have never stopped.
Stuff like that. Well, the problem is I moved. I was the only person doing Discord or TikTok, and then I had to pack up and move. I took a few weeks off, and then they make your account dormant so you don't get as many views. And so basically the second you get rolling, you are not allowed to stop ever.
Oh, really?
Or your account basically gets flagged, and then you'll never become like – you have to work like five times as hard to become undormant.
Damn, that's why I only get one like every time I make a TikTok.
Yeah.
you're like thinking, you're like, no, you just suck. You just absolutely suck. Yeah, man, I dabble on TikTok every once in a while, but I just hate making them. They hurt my soul making them. I'd rather just watch TikToks and watch how the world's flat and conspiracies. You know, sitting there at 3 o'clock in the morning, going down the wrong rabbit hole of TikTok.
So I want to know, are you going to play in the next rally?
That is a good question. I'm going to get my ass kicked.
That's fair. I guess I need to answer Lord Death's question. There are 11 people signed up currently. And one of them, I'm going to say Scamanders. See who's going to win.
Scamanders?
Yes.
I think I'm a Scamander. Hold on. Hold on. Let me see. If I'm a Scamander, they're winning. I'm going to play. So, yeah.
I was also saying, because we don't have any Scamander representatives signed up yet. So, now that I've predicted that, people have to go sign up for Scamanders.
Yeah. So, Scamanders is... I think I am a Scamander. And why is no one a Scamander? What are you? What do you pick? Like, what are
I
you?
I played for the Inquisitors for the, or I was an Inquisitor for the longest while, and I think I still am.
An Inquisitor. So there's four or five, right?
Six.
What are all of them? I don't think we mentioned them all.
That's okay. I'll go through them. So we have. I'm gonna pull it up my list just to make sure I don't say anything wrong. So we have the Reaper Dogs, the Kings, Scamanders, Pink Kittens, Inquisitors, and Ascendants. Lord, I think plays on, I need to find it. I should know this, but the Kings is a very prevalent, district that shows up a lot. I don't remember.
I looked.
Yeah,
and
Lord is on the Kings. Lord's
on the Kings. Right. I looked and yes, I am a Scamander.
Oh, you are?
Yes. I remember. I remember that. I'm pretty sure I picked it because I like the lizard or the, what is it? Not a lizard. It's not a lizard. It's a. Why can I think of what it is? You're not helping me out, Ben. It's not a lizard.
It's a
salamander.
Salamander.
There we go. Holy cow! That took me. That took every bit of my one brain cell I have to figure out what I was trying to think of. So, with that, and so you pick the Scamanders. What time does it start?
So. It starts at, I think, 1 p.m. EST.
Okay.
Is when this happens. Let me check my announcement. So I'm going to, what's up? What's something happened?
No, it's you looking at your computer.
Oh, is the eyes like doing the thing?
Yeah, you should have left the fake eyes on so when you're looking away, you could have.
Oh, they've been on this whole time.
Oh, no, they haven't. You're lying.
Yeah. Yep, they've been on this whole time. See?
You're freaking lying. No way.
This is the Discord channel link to the announcement, but it is January 28th, 2023, 1 to 5 p.m. EST. So basically this Saturday at 1 p.m.
All right.
EST. Sign-ups, I'd say you want to be signed up before Friday ends.
Before Friday, you want to sign up, and then I'll definitely do a post as well. And then hopefully I'm going to probably take your announcement and put it into the description as well so people can have a time frame on there as well. I will try and make an appearance. I was supposed to play Golf Plus all damn day. So if I find time out of that schedule, I'll come play some vertical shift.
Well, heck yeah. I will say I will not be around for this Saturday, though.
I won't be around this Saturday.
I hope that doesn't sway your decision.
No.
I ordered some fun car parts, and they're coming in, and I want to go put them on. So I'm going to go away from a computer and exercise hammers instead.
Yeah. Man
and,
stuff.
Do that. Basically. And so I'll be on Discord, but I won't be in games this Saturday.
Gotcha. And so, if I do come on, I'll be streaming though.
Absolutely. You can. Yeah. Everyone is free to stream their games, post it on YouTube. I think Lord Death has done that a few times. Anyone can stream the rally of their games or perspectives or spectate. They normally have to ask first because we do code protect, like password protected rooms. So they would just have to literally tell us so they can get the codes. But really, it's kind of a free-for-all as far as you want to make content, and absolutely go for it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, especially for Vertical Shift, you guys should definitely start making more content. I think the content in this world anymore is the way to go, for sure. And I guarantee after this, if I said I might be in it, I think Lord Death is probably going to message me in Discord, like, hey,
I'm going to beat you.
Yeah, right.
That sounds like what Lord Death might do.
I'm going to jump shift and be on Lord Death's team. I think that's probably what's going
to
happen.
See, the biggest thing for me, and we haven't even got into this topic yet. We only have 5 minutes. I talked about automation to you before we even got in.
You did. You talked a lot, and I'm just like, you were in there, and I'm just like, he's going to blow it all before we even get started. And I, you know, it happens.
I forgot what I was just about to say. Oh, yeah. A fun thing we have with our rallies right now is, you know, a team starts to snowball a couple of rallies as in they just win them, and so districts get popular because they win, and then everyone leaves their district and goes to the winning districts, and then we only have half the districts to play.
You should district lock then.
You know, you're not wrong, but typically when that happens, players have been very nice to swap to other districts to represent. So the game, they're all in it for the game. And that's what I really love about like lots of our players is it comes down to like the districts is great. You rep a district, you go in to win. But if it needs for the game to be played, to just play on a different district, people will district drop and just do it for the love of the sport. Mm-hmm. And so I love all the players that do that stuff. And it's super awesome. But that's been kind of an interesting thing that has happened as well across a couple of rallies.
But what were you going on about automation?
Yeah, so we're going to get like a 2-minute bit on this, but I'm in early enough stages with it as well. Me and my dad have been experimenting with the automation of these rallies, and it's going to with some variation of the rule set. So it won't be like exactly how a rally currently runs, mm-hmm. but the same kind of premise. You come in and you represent a district as yourself, and you go in and play games, earn points based off, you know, you, and they go to your district. But with the automation, if we can get that right, we can make these rallies run more than a month, or run every month, even if we can't be there.
Yeah.
Because it will automate it, you know, taking the signups, set people up in their games. It's kind of like a custom matchmaking, but it's not matchmaking.
Yeah.
It's not like you're, we got, you know, 12 people signed up. We can make, you know, we'll pop a match here of 3v3. We'll pop a match there 4v4, et cetera. This is a very, just like the rallies. We have this many people districts, and we'll go in and we'll sign everyone around and then report their points back. And then see at the end of the day how many points has been earned for each district. And so if we can get that in automation, this isn't coming anytime soon. I'm just telling you about that. It is something we're working on. Might be able to allow us to run these, like it could be bi-weekly. If people really, like if we're getting the numbers in and just players want to do it, then they can hop in and do it.
You know,
the thing with frequency, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're good.
Okay. I was saying with thing with frequency, right? So if we bump the frequency up too much and the numbers drop, then we know to back off so the groups kind of gather in more, right?
Yeah.
So if we did it every week and we're only getting like 15, 16 signups, like that's still, that can be a good number, but you know, you want to scale over time. If we back it up, you know, maybe then it's just once a month instead of weekly or bi-weekly, that will kind of bunch those 2 weeks of players wanting to play into one and make that bubble bigger. Mm-hmm. So we get less frequent, bigger events, but at a better frequency scale, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, the playability of like and not you know, you always, when it comes to esports, and a lot of leagues, you know, could probably take, you know, advice from what you're saying, is that You burn people out, you know, and that's why I told you I have to compete in two different games, or I would literally burn myself out only playing one game at a time. But one thing that I could, that would be an idea, you know, and then maybe even toss it around in the community, is that instead of making it Discord roles, you bring in those fractions and you bring it into the game as selectable in-game roles that are locked for, you know, 2 to 6 months. You know, you can play with it, try it out a month, but then you lock them in, and then not only that, you can find platforms to when they come to the city, they drop in their own fractions as well. And then instead of having separate leaderboards, you can have fractional leaderboards as well, and then they could have weekly bouts on how many tags. You could really
that's
get
a
in.
Whole yeah. different can of words
I
that
know
can happen right
but you
there.
Know you could really it would make people more feel like they're part of their own. Well,
that's great suggestions. I mean, you are right. The only affiliation with a district right now for a player's identity is a role. And all of those ideas are absolutely excellent. And I think with, you know, we have our development plan. We have ideas for our development plan for this next coming year. But with that district stuff, with the automation stuff as well, that will be the first step as getting that role tied to an account in Vertical Shift that could be referenced, because the sign-up process would happen through the same database that everyone's data lives in. And so it'd be very easy to be like, oh, this is, you know, you can start assigning people based off basically factions.
Yeah, that'd be cool. And then also when it comes to an actual tournament outside of the faction for esports orgs like myself, let me know, because I would be probably down to come in and help cast or talk about it as well. Because
that'd be super fun.
Yeah. You know, and then, you know, I'm an interesting caster because I just scream the whole entire time.
That's kind of what I do. I just try and talk really fast and people like it, so they keep inviting me back.
Oh, yeah. It's like you could just say the most random shit, you know, like, he tagged right there. He's untagged.
See, what's funny is that there's always a dynamic, and I know it's already 10 o'clock, so this will be a whole different podcast on itself, but a little tidbit.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, you know, pairing casters together give you an entire different dynamic. If you just yell and I just talk fast, that's going to be like the most, like, just aggressive casting combo you could probably
and
get.
And then I'm over in the side saying goal for 5 minutes without
breath. Because then that leaves, you know, you get that, basically you get that combo, and then you get the dude who states what's happening, and then the analyst which states why they did and caused what happened, right? Because you're like, oh my god, I'm gonna use names as an example, Lord Death gets a double triple tag and he gets tagged by Brick, and Brick comes back, like, I just do that, and you just say what you're saying, and it's like the old, like, baseball, like, casting that you hear on the radio. And then, you know, the other guy's like, yeah, I really think, you know, these teams are pushing this way because it's allowing them to keep pressure. It's just that dynamic. It's just
or
that.
The casters from Dodgeball.
Yes.
So the hour is upon us. You know, hour happens so quickly when talking about fun stuff on the podcast. Is there any last thing that you want to say? And don't forget, you know, people that are listening, I do plan on having been on again this year. So, but is there anything else you want to kind of end with?
Well, I believe everyone here might be in the Discord, but if you're not in Discord or you're listening later on, definitely come join the Vertical Shift Discord, because that's kind of your entryway into all of the shenanigans you can get on our side with our game. Everything from rallies, learning about, you know, the different merches we have, or just getting into the community, wanting to become a competitive player, anything, you know, the Discord's a great place to kind of get started and go off of.
Yep, and that link is in the description. Just go there, check out their website, check out their game. You know, it is still free to play, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so the game is free to play. And when it comes to free games, why not just give it a try? You know, that's the biggest thing I tell people, is that even, like, I played a game the other day that I had someone on. You know, he made it was for Shadow Colossus. You know, it was a demo. It was free. Mm-hmm. And I had an hour, you know, I had an hour of fun playing around with this game that he had. So when it comes to Vertical Shift, it's a very well-developed game. You know, congratulations for you guys putting together a game like this. And and then especially, this is a really good time, because come Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern, all the way until 5, 5 p.m. Eastern, you could join this whole entire rally.
I guess that's another thing I should definitely make sure I shout out is the fact that we have the rally, and you can find that link in the Discord as well.
Yes. Do the rally and all that. And everyone, thanks for coming and listening. Ben, always a pleasure having you. And then, hey,
appreciate
it's
letting
so
me on.
Crazy. I'm going to have to rewatch the first episode, too, because just cause everything is so different from the very first one. A whole year is, you know, of a podcasting is super weird. You know,
I'm honestly, overall, with all this, the vertical shift stuff, I'm so excited with a lot of the stuff we have planned for this year. We're going to have a good bit of stuff to talk about next time I'm on.
Awesome.
Like you could go multiple segments with the amount of things we're going
to
have.
Oh, yeah, I know. So we'll have a lot to talk about then. That's why I told people, I go, you hold your questions. Like someone right there said, will the story get an update? He already gave, you can go back and rewind. He already gave one little secret thing, and that's all you guys get. But other than that, we are going to be live again next Monday, unless I threw some weird Saturday. I threw a weird Saturday for a tournament.
You can stream the rally. Yeah.
Or I might be stream. I mean, I stream on here now anyways. After this, I'm probably going to play some golf. Nice. But other than that, Cuss really wants to talk about breaches for a whole entire podcast. So I think we might be doing that. So unless I get a guest like I did this time, I'm just like, hey, we get a guest. So sorry, we have to do another week without breaches talk. Darn. So everyone, this is our wave. Awesome. Goodbye. Go play Vertical
Appreciate
Shift.
It.
Go see the descriptions. I did it again. Link in descriptions.
See y'all.